You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Tim Brown is a name you might know from many years of dedicated social work in Sacramento. He was executive director of the nonprofit Loaves and Fishes. He was a founding board member of the Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee. And in 2011, he was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award by the National Association of Social Workers, California chapter. In 2012, after semi-retiring, he says, Timothy became a member of the Loretto Writers Collective, and he has now released his first novel. It was published by nfbpublishing.com. It's titled Squatter's Gold, and he's here in the studio as an author. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Beth, for having me.
It's so great to see you again after so many years. This book speaks to your life work, to your experience on a few different levels. So what does it mean to you to have it published?
It meant a lot. It's pretty difficult to get a publisher these days. It took quite a while. I spent 5 years on it. It's kind of my baby. And to get it out there is a big deal, you know, after all that.
With the title Squatter's Gold, people can imagine that it does combine some of the gold rush history. It is a somewhat fictionalized beginning in the true history of the squatters' riots. We can talk a bit about that. Then there are characters in the more modern part of the book inspired by people you know and the legend of the tree, the lost gold hidden in a tree. So start with the squatters' riots and why that fascinated you.
Yeah, I did a lot of research. I'd always been fascinated by it. And, you know, it's kind of the history of homelessness in Sacramento, at least as a settlement. And, it was the beginning of the boom bust thing, which still happens, you know, and of homelessness. So I thought it was relevant to what we're doing today. And a lot of mostly guys didn't find gold and ended up back in Sacramento, and there was not a lot of work, and they were squatting on what was then, you know, private land in the hands of just a few people, and, came down to violent riots, you know, so it fascinated me, I think, and then I tried to make it entertaining, putting in the gold, the hidden gold in the tree, and I'm a big fan of both historic fiction and urban mystery, so I combined a couple genres.
It's real, right? You have a picture of the tree in the book.
The tree is real. It's one of my favorite trees.
Can you draw comparisons of homelessness then in the gold rush times to homelessness in the contemporary era?
Somewhat. I mean, there's obvious differences, but it was boom and bust and land speculation threw the prices up so high that people couldn't afford land unless you found a lot of gold, and most people didn't. And so they were stranded here and trying to make the best of it and camping out, just like we have campers today on public land mostly. And they were accosted by the government and evicted, or, you know, they attempted to evict people. And in that case, you know, it was 150 years ago, they fought back. And so it was unfortunate that quite a few people lost their lives in that. The mayor, the sheriff eventually, the leaders, one of the leaders of the squatters. And really a fascinating time. And I tried to tell the story through my character, and I hope I pulled that off.
The book is authentic. It is really entertaining and well-written. But it's authentic because you know the landscape of people's lives from when they're getting high on the streets to when they're camping and being moved. There's a murder that happens. There's a number of violent scenes that happen in the book. And all the way to the courtroom when they're charged with violations and they have to navigate the legal system. So are your characters composites of real-life people and situations?
Absolutely. I have, from 30 years, a head full of homeless people. I've met hundreds, even thousands, and some I've gotten to know pretty well. The murder scene was actually based on a real murder that was actually never solved, of a person who was deaf that I knew, who was hearing impaired, and So I kind of used that as a part of the book. But and the camping scenes, you know, I've just seen so many. I've been to so many camps and met so many campers and tried to help so many folks. And so it was for me, one of the fun parts of the book is really pulling together these characters and the villains, for that matter. I mean, and I really wanted to make homeless people fully human. You know, there's a lot of dehumanization. They get called transients and bums and winos and trolls. And I thought one of my key goals was to humanize people, and because they are like you and I. They're fathers, lovers, brothers, you know, heroes and villains, you know. So I tried to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly.
There's a character, Jake, who's really come up front and throughout the book is trying to reconcile his past and his mistakes. And near the end of the book, he's talking with Skip, a local musician.
Yeah.
And by the way, people who have been in Sacramento a long time are going to recognize a lot of what's in there, even the fictionalized version of it. But he is talking in a very human way about the pain. And those areas of the book made me realize, until we can see and understand and maybe connect with some of the pain, we don't fully humanize the experience of someone we might just see in a blur.
Absolutely. I mean, the one of my subtexts of the book was grief and loss, you know, which is so prevalent among the homeless population and among those trying to help them. I mean, you know, when I was at Loaves and Fishes, it was my dream job. But that job, when you're up and so close to homelessness and personal, that it really takes a toll on people. And you know, I preached self-care to many people over the years that I mentored and tried to practice it. But, you know, it caught up to me eventually. And it's just a reality of that work. You're up against so much grief. And, you know, back then we averaged about every 10 days a memorial service for a homeless person. Those are just the people we knew at Loaves and Fishes. We have a memorial wall with hundreds of names. And so many people pass. And there's a lot of grief around that and loss. And on the other hand, so many people get better and become staff people and, you know, work in homeless programs and get their lives back together. So it's you know, both sides, but the grief is a big one. Hmm.
You're listening to Tim Brown. He is an expert on the community treatment of mental illness and addiction, as well as homelessness. He's published reports and given expert testimony to superior courts, local governments, and the California legislature. We are talking about his first novel, Squatter's Gold, book one of the Sam White Homeless Mysteries. I don't have to draw too dark a line between Timothy Brown and Sam White. It just sort of appears there. Very obvious. There's a book reading and signing happening this Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Luna's Cafe. If you haven't seen Tim for a while, if you just want to support the book or support all the work he's done around the issue of homelessness in the community, again, Luna's Cafe, 5 to 7 o'clock. Ask him to tell you about some of his great characters like Gremlin, Snake, Bandana, Cat. You have Batman and Robin in there, too. How many books in this series do you have mapped out in your head?
I'm working on a second one about a third of the way. Other than that, I'm not so sure. But since I call it a series, I have to at least do two. But,
right. Yeah. Why did you write this one?
You know, I felt like I had a story to tell about homelessness. And Sacramento is a place I've lived for 35 years and loved. And I wanted to tell a Sacramento story about homelessness. But also, again, people read for entertainment. So I really wanted to tell an interesting story that caught people's attention.
Well, as I said, the reality of it is very palpable. The characters are very real. Does that experience of your life live with you now in any other way than in your writing?
Interesting question. Well, I'm still in touch with, I still go to Loaves and Fishes and still in touch with a lot of people doing advocacy work. I haven't been in the forefront of that for a few years, but yeah, it's hard to leave. I mean, and when you write a book, it's constantly going through your head and, you know, what parts of it should I tell and what not, and what parts changed me that, you know, those are the parts that I think touch people. Mm. And a lot of that's relationships with homeless people I've met who are just amazingly resilient, you know, with disabilities and single moms with kids and people, very low income people for the most part, and very disabled. And again, you know, we lose a lot of people, but we help a lot of folks too. And Sacramento, when I was at Loaves and Fishes, seeing the generosity of Sacramento, you know, it's just a very humbling experience because there's so many supporters, thousands and thousands of people volunteer and support. And that is just really special, I think. You know, it's like the really positive side and the really tough side of loss and grief, you know, that's constantly in your face doing that work.
Well, you have a quote from Mayor Daryl Steinberg in the opening of the book that speaks to both the humanitarian crisis of homelessness and the blessing that Sacramento has in so many people being willing to look at it, work at it, and make it a human problem and believe that there's a solution. So,
yeah, and Daryl's been a real leader as mayor.
Congratulations.
Thank you so
much.
On
this next chapter of your life, so to speak.
It.
Book two, I'll be looking forward to it and looking forward to our next conversation, okay?
Great. Thank you, Beth.
Timothy Brown, again, Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. at Luna's Cafe in Sacramento. The book is Squatter's Gold. It's book number one of the Sam White Homeless Mysteries. This is Insight on CAP Radio.